This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
The Honorable Ustad Abu Taymiyyah spent between 2010 and 2014 in Yemen, Damaj, where he memorized the Quran, learned the Arabic language, fiqh, memorized over around half of Bukhari, and also a book, compilation of Aqidah, consisting of 350 ahadith. Upon returning to the UK, he has been involved in many institutions and organizations, and many lessons and lectures can be found on his YouTube. He is also a graduate from the prestigious Islamic University of Medina, Faculty of Sharia, with an overall score of 4.87 out of 5. He is also a qualified inheritance distributor, certified by Masjid al-Nabawi in Medina. When pursuing his studies in Medina, he completed his last 2 years of an Arabic diploma, memorizing books such as Bulugh al-Maram, a compilation of ahadith related to fiqh, consisting of over 1,400 ahadiths, and others as well. Certification from Masjid al-Nabawi can also be provided upon request. He also has ijazat in Qur'an with various modes, ijazat in Asim with both riwayat, ijazat in Qalun with 4 riwayat, ijazat in Kisa'i with both riwayat, Abu al-Harith and Ad-Duri. Certificates can be provided upon request. He is currently reading Khalaf an Hamza on Sheikh Jalal, who is from the very well-known Qurra based in Birmingham. He also has certificates from Masjid Nabawi for what he has memorized, and has ijazat in all 9 books of hadith and many others. He has studied with the scholars of Yemen, and while in Medina studied with Sheikh Sulaiman al-Ruhili, Sheikh Saleh al-Sindi, Sheikh Saleh al-Usaymi, Sheikh Abdussalam al-Shuwair, Sheikh Sa'ad al-Shitri, Sheikh Abdirazaq al-Badr, and many more.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu salam ala Rasulullah wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa sallam tasliman kathira. Our dear Deen Love viewers, welcome to this very amazing episode with our auspicious guest, Sheikh Ustad Abu Taymiyyah, who came all the way from the UK. And then we also have another Abu Taymiyyah. By the way, you guys have the same nickname. So, inshallah.
Abu Taymiyyah Shafi'i.
Oh, yeah, he's a Shafi'i. Abu Nu'aym. He changes based off of the seasons. We only have 2 here in Minnesota. So, Sheikhuna, how are you doing?
Well, alhamdulillah. Jazakallah khair for having me on. It's an absolute pleasure.
MashaAllah. It's an honor having you here. And this has been long overdue, honestly. Alhamdulillah. Sharaf lana. The honor is ours. And so, Abu Taymiyyah Athani. Kayfik.
Alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah.
He's a regular here, right?
He's a veteran. Yeah, whenever he shows up, you know. Alhamdulillah, so that's our brother. So first and foremost, we know we had an event last night at Abu Bakr Sadiq in Minneapolis, and needless to say, people showed out, right? And Minneapolis is now on the map for other things, so it's another thing to add to our list. You had a lot of good in the sense of people that showed out, you know, alhamdulillah, in numbers, record numbers. I would say maybe 3,000 to 5,000 people.
Easily.
If you kind of, you know, you take account for upstairs, downstairs, and sister
people
side.
Told to go back.
People outside, right? So I know this was a sort of a hectic experience for all of us. We had never seen anything like this before. How was your experience?
My experience in Minnesota and America so far.
No, first let's start with last night, and we'll get to, yeah.
Sheikh, I'm still recovering from the trauma.
MashaAllah.
SubhanAllah, a lot of things have happened on this trip that would not necessarily happen on a norm, right? But yesterday was a very, very different experience. Honestly, when I woke up that morning, I don't think, in my wildest dreams, like, I thought something like that would happen, you know?
Yeah.
But alhamdulillah, everything happens for a reason. I think, as you mentioned, also a lot of khair came out of it. The fact that so many Muslims came out to listen to myself, who's pretty much conservative, right? And we always hear negative things about America, especially Minnesota.
Oh,
right? Especially in Minnesota. Yeah. Of course, there's a lot of good things associated to Minnesota. For example, now the Quran, you guys are bringing out Hufad like no other place.
No.
While at the same time, we hear that feminism and liberalism is very, very prevalent amongst Somalis. I don't know whether that's true or not. But honestly, my perspective has changed on a lot of things since I came to America, right? And even more so, Minnesota. The brothers, right, when we was putting this event together, the plan wasn't even to have a sisters-only event, simply because they thought maybe the feminist liberals would maybe cause them a lot of problems, get to the sisters' minds and their heads, pollute them, and maybe even prevent them from coming to the event. So they thought maybe it wouldn't have been a good idea. But subhanAllah, there was a rumor that was spread after it was announced that there was going to be a sisters event, that it was canceled. The amount of messages that I received on Instagram and on Twitter, even by email, of sisters literally saying, please don't cancel it. And
subhanAllah.
We really want to hear you out and we're looking forward to it. We really want to benefit and so on and so forth. And I'm thinking, what's going on here, you know?
SubhanAllah.
But yesterday, subhanAllah, you know, the fact that, you know, thousands of Muslims came out, mainly youngsters, to benefit, honestly, that was very, very touching. Really, really was touching. And it shows that there is a lot of good in them, right? And that maybe the feminists and liberals, they're actually a minority amongst many. Some may be affected, but they don't identify to be part of these groups.
Yes.
And of course, living in this environment, we have to expect that people are going to get affected by the different isms and the ideologies that are out there, right? As we're being constantly challenged intellectually on a regular basis, wherever you turn to, right? So may Allah Azza wa Jalla bless both brothers and sisters, and especially the sisters, right, who have a lot of khair with them, right? Ameen, honestly, ameen, there is, ameen. You know, a lot of good in them.
Ameen. Brother Idris didn't make it. what was holding you back?
I'm not gonna lie. I think I was one of the people that didn't anticipate what was gonna happen. I thought I was gonna come to the masajid, take my slippers off, come tahiyatul masajid, pray. A brother called me, said, "Akhi, I'm by the door. Literally, I'm by the door, and it's jam packed, so you can't even get in." So I was out in the back area helping people get into the gym. You know, just making sure it wasn't too crowded. Trying to work with traffic, stuff like that. We were out actually trying to make things happen on the outside. So, alhamdulillah, people showed out in large numbers. And also people just, you know, when you're in an event, and it was freezing cold. It's not like you could tell people just go outside for a little bit. Well, so people need to understand the context. It was negative 16. So you can't just tell people go out while we make some space. Nobody's going to do that. So a lot of context, especially on social media, is being missed.
Yes.
And alhamdulillah, everybody that knows and who's sincere that was there knows the situation.
Yeah. I think this is a, subhanAllah, it's a situation where the narrative could be easily hijacked.
Yeah.
And people say, oh, you see here, you see the guys, you see, it has nothing to do with that. Anyone who's there would know that this was one of those, you know, I mean, every situation is qadr Allah, but this one was qadr Allah. Like, this was big time. We had no, like you said, nobody anticipated when you put on your socks in the morning. You didn't think. I knew it was going to be packed out.
But not like
this. Yeah. I thought it was going to be like a, you know, like a cute little pack out and then close the doors and people still walking by and, hey, what's going on?
It's a different level.
No. Cars being towed. Yep. Right? Shout out to the Minneapolis city.
Yeah.
I got my car towed too. They towed my car, subhanAllah.
They towed your car yesterday?
Yeah, brother. And I parked it in a place where I thought it was like safe. No du'a. Make du'a for
us. You didn't retrieve the car yet?
There's no emergency.
I think I have to go after this to go pick it up.
May Allah replace it with that, which is better.
I mean. So, there's a lot of things that happened. Good, you know, it was great that people came out, but also there are people who probably didn't come out for the right intentions. And when you have people who come that are trying to learn for the sake of Allah and they're trying to benefit, and then you have people who just need content on social media.
Yeah, I just want to point out, right, and I gave the sisters this reminder.
Yeah.
Because they had to remove all of the brothers, right? And the plan initially was to have the sisters in the women's section, you know, behind the curtain, right? Because the curtain was out. Brothers in the men's section, right? The allocated area. And the remaining sisters, I think it was upstairs or something, right? But then eventually just completely spiraled out of control, right? So the fact that there are videos going around of both men and women sitting with one another, that was not something that
was planned.
It was not planned.
It was not planned at all. That really, really wasn't the case, because I've seen some people saying, why is he allowing this to take place?
Yeah.
Maybe just a tweet or two, and on the ground is, you know, pretty much different.
Yeah.
The whole thing just spiraled out of control. And that's why we eventually ended up kicking the brothers out. We actually had to remove the brothers. Some even traveled ahead from Chicago.
Yeah.
From outside of Minnesota. Not just Minneapolis, but Minnesota, which is the state, sah. They came from far and they had to be removed. And may Allah Azza wa Jalla reward them. Every step you took towards the masjid, it's on your scale of good deeds. Remember, you came for Allah, right? And your reward is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I think it's worth pointing out that this whole celebrity culture, wallahi, it's unacceptable. And it's unfortunate that it's become like that. You know, I'm not an NBA or a... what's the other thing that you guys play? Football?
That's it. We have baseball here.
Yeah. Baseball or whatever.
Football.
And even, you know, reacting to an NBA player or a NFL or a baseball personality is not right, akhi. As Muslims, that's not right. This is a practice that has been taken from the non-Muslims.
Yes.
And I made it very, very clear to them, my sisters, right? I'm not a superstar, I'm not a celebrity, I'm none other than your brother.
SubhanAllah.
My whole goal and objective was to enlighten the American Muslims to take their religion so much more seriously. My whole job when delivering these lectures, not to get a rise out of the crowd, it is to make you aware that we are under attack from an ideological perspective. Normative Islam, right, is being hunted down. It's under attack. And we need to do something about it, right? If you look at this generation compared to the previous generation, they are worse. Let's be honest with ourselves, right?
That's true.
Every generation is only getting worse simply because, and we'll maybe speak about this later, a woman's potential is going to waste, right? The woman's busy, and of course the man's busy grinding, right? But then the woman, she wants to do her thing as well, and then who's the victim in all of this? None other than the children. If we as a generation barely have any knowledge with regards to our Islamic morals and values, then what do you expect from the next generation?
SubhanAllah.
Right? I made it very, very clear to them that this type of fangirling or fanboying, it's not from an Islam.
SubhanAllah.
I just came to enlighten you guys. I'm your brother. I just want khair for every single one of you. Right? I had a particular message when coming to America, and I've been delivering it everywhere. And alhamdulillah, many have appreciated it. I've had sisters message me saying that they left feminism. They moved away from that. People want to hold on to their religion in a lot more proud and unapologetic way. So that really makes me happy, because this is what I really wanted. نحن أمتنا عزنا الله بالإسلام, as Umm al-Khattab رضي الله تعالى عنه would say, we are أمة that Allah عز وجل has, you know, honored with Islam. ومهما ابتغينا غير الإسلام يأذلنا الله. And the moment we desire other than Islam, Allah عز will humiliate us. And we're seeing this humiliation the moment we start behaving in an un-Islamic way.
Yeah.
Right. Unfortunately, the Somali community here in Minneapolis has become a laughing stock on Twitter.
Yeah.
Right? We've been following it. All the brothers have been...
They've become memes.
Yeah, they've turned into memes. And that is due to our own doings, right?
That's true.
Just as Umar al-Khattab said, وَمَهْمَا ابْتَغَيْنَا غَيْرِ إِسْلَامِ أَذَلَنَا اللَّهِ. The moment we desire other than Islam, Allah will humiliate us, right?
SubhanAllah.
SubhanAllah. May Allah Azza wa Jalla protect us.
I mean, and so... I don't want to really get into the event. We're probably going to have to dedicate that for another podcast, honestly. You know, we don't want to take away from, you know, this moment. But what would you say, was this the biggest turnout you've got, do you think?
Ever?
No, in the U.S. while your tour.
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt. Maybe it was. You know, in Ohio, SubhanAllah, it was huge.
It was big.
Virginia was pretty huge as well.
SubhanAllah.
Like in Virginia, they were planning on doing the event in a small little building, Ikhra Center, right? I remember even my uncle said that he actually went there in the morning to count how many people can sit there. My auntie, may Allah Azza bless her, and my uncle, they normally don't even get involved in setting up da'wah events, but when they heard it was going to be in that small little center, right, they got involved. They were shouting. Aunties were getting involved. So the heat was on the organizers, right, to do something about it. And I had a conversation with Sheikh Ahmed Azwa, may Allah bless him.
Amen.
And, you know, they were making a lot of dua and they had a lot of optimism.
Yeah.
And eventually, it was a big W, you know? It ended up being a huge,
alhamdulillah,
successful event. Alhamdulillah. They booked out one of the reception halls for, I think, like maybe $5,000, right? And alhamdulillah, they managed to get the money in no time. And it was a really, really nice event. Really, really nice event. Right, that place would have only fit maybe, what, 200 people?
Yeah.
But over 2,000 people turned up.
Allahu Akbar.
Right? And it was at very short notice as well.
Yeah.
Ohio was pretty big, really, really huge. I've never seen a masjid that is that big on the ground, like in one. Because I've been to Masajid, right?
Masjid
Abu Bakr, not Ibn Taymiyyah.
Okay.
Ibn Taymiyyah, I don't think would have fit that. They told me there was like 3,250 people there.
Oh, okay.
Nah. People came from all over Michigan.
SubhanAllah.
Right. And Indiana and some of the neighboring areas. So it was a huge masjid. Huge. I've never seen a masjid like that on the ground.
Yeah.
Wow. And then they had a second floor and a third floor as well. Each floor was full to the brim. Wow. And that was pretty successful as well. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
But Minnesota, qaddar Allah ma shafa. Hopefully, inshallah ta'ala, today we'll work out. We're going to have husn dhan of Allah.
So some people heard what you said, Ahmed. During the end of the event, you said, like, will I come back here? Allahu A'lam. For them, they interpreted that he's not coming back. And so people are kind of tripping. And so clarify that for us.
Yeah. Well, we'll see, akhi. We'll see. You know, there's a lot of factors to take into consideration.
Na'am.
I think next time, right, it will definitely have to be maybe at a bigger
venue. Definitely. But let's say all that is done, because the people, you're going to break their heart. Right? It's like, no, the sheikh is not coming back. And so, you know, and we have to also...
Let me get over the trauma then, inshallah ta'ala. What happened at the airport was pretty huge. Right?
Yeah, you got to talk to us about that.
Yeah, I spent like 9 hours there. I don't want to go into too much detail, but you know, everything happens for a reason. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. But even then, alhamdulillah, Allah was overwhelmed with the support of the attendees and the fact that on such short notice, they filled out the homes of Allah Azza wa Jal. Honestly, that was very, very pleasing to see. Yeah. And I mentioned this as well, and I'll say it again. One thing that really, really impressed me is what happened at New York City, Brooklyn. Mm. Right? You had one of the biggest games of the year. LeBron James was in town. I don't even watch a basketball like that. I've never watched a basketball game from start to finish.
SubhanAllah.
Even when I wasn't practicing like that. We never watched it. It's not a big thing there in the UK.
I'm the same way. I don't think I've ever watched.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So you had the Brooklyn Nets playing against the Lakers. So you had that Muslim guy, what's his name?
Kyrie.
Yeah.
Kyrie Irving.
And you had LeBron James, who only comes to the East Coast, they told me, once a year or something. So that was the biggest game that was taking place in the Barclays Center, right? And this is in NYC. The masjid is not far, Masjid Taqwa, a monumental masjid that is full with history, right? Rich with history. We walked past Maghrib time and the event is after Isha. Oh, yeah. Like there's an hour and a half away, right? We walk past the Barclays Center and people are lining up to watch this basketball game.
SubhanAllah.
They're going to be spending the night in a lahu and la'ib.
Nah.
Right? Toying around, wasting the time watching non-Muslims running around, right? And something that is not going to be beneficial.
Yeah.
However, I was told by Maghrib, the masjid was packed.
Mm.
You had the Muslims lining up to get into the masjid while you have the non-Muslims at the Barclays Center. Like if somebody said that to me maybe before my American trip, that Muslims are going to be lining up to enter into the masjid, I would have laughed at him. Akhi, I'm telling you, in the UK, and I need to go back to the Brits and tell them you guys got it
shout
wrong,
out
man.
To the UK, what time? Yeah, I'm saying.
Wallahi, man. Guys, we have such a negative perception of American Muslims.
Wow.
Wallahi, it's really bad. I'm not even talking about just one group of people. I think this is maybe what a unanimous agreement amongst conservative Muslims, who are the majority, right, over there. From whatever madhab they are and whatever background they come from, they will look at America as finished.
Hmm.
Right? They will look at America as finished. Even recently, one of the brothers said, when you go to America and you see this personality, tell him that all the Muslims, we're not just talking about one strand of Islam or one particular school of thought.
Right.
Tell them they are in unanimous agreement that his positions on the LGBTQ is unacceptable.
Wow.
It's soft. Make sure you tell him that if you do run into him, right? And like it was ajeeb. Like when we see, you can't blame them, to be honest, right?
Yeah, no, a lot of us probably agree, honestly. Yeah. We're on the UK.
Like when you see a leading Muslim figure, right, coming out and supporting the first hijabi playboy, whatever you call that, right? And he's supporting away, thinking, Akhi, if the leaders are behaving like that, what do you expect from the rest?
That
thing I remember caused a big fiasco in the UK.
I think that shocked them. I think I was the same guy who cancelled Jumu'ah to go to a Jewish synagogue to give So it's deep. And so those sentiments, they're totally understandable, right? We can't argue with you. So that's a
But one thing I have taken away is that there's still a lot of
there's a lot of in the Muslims. Yeah, there's potential here.
Right. Huge potential. But potential.
Yeah, we gotta wake up.
But also, I think it's different. The UK and the US is two different worlds. Oh,
yeah. Big time.
Yeah, in the sense definitely.
That was much easier in the UK.
And the Muslims are
More Muslims.
More closer to
so
one
your
another.
Da'wah, generally speaking, the Muslims all agree kind of with what the people in UK
right,
are saying.
Right.
LGBT is not. But here you're dealing with a lot of non-Muslims. Forget about the Muslims, but the non-Muslims that we deal with on a day-to-day basis, that we work with, that we go to school with. So there's a lot of factors. I'm not talking about the people that okay this stuff, but I'm talking about just in general.
Just average person.
The average person, the amount of non-Muslims we deal with, and they're thinking, how can I go about this in a way of wisdom and there's just a lot more
not offending people.
And here it's like if you get canceled here, you actually lose your job, and so there's a lot more. The cancel culture is actually real in America.
Yeah, we don't know the cancellation culture in the UK.
But here it's like you actually lose your job. Nobody's hiring you, so it's you're blacklisted. So this is a different monster in the US.
Back in the days before social media, when I used to go to Mecca and Medina for Hajj and Umrah, they would meet other Muslims and they would ask them, how is your place and how is your home? What's going on with the Muslims there, the community? And that was their form of like news, international news. So we ask you, tell us about the da'wah scene in general in the UK. What do you think, what would you say are the three biggest obstacles?
Three biggest obstacles in the sense where the problems that we're dealing with, like the ideologies out there.
What are the big?
Well, I think at this moment in time, a big fitna is the whole LGBTQ stuff. And also feminism, right? But alhamdulillah, we have brothers who are trying to challenge a lot of these afkar, a lot of these ideological sentiments.
SubhanAllah.
Right? So it's being dealt with. And maybe you could say, right, this whole liberalism of watering down the religion.
Right.
It's not as bad as America, but it is on the rise. Alhamdulillah, I thank Allah Azza wa Jalla that there are du'at are really dealing with this, right? In the masajid, they go out and do khutbas, right? They keep the Muslims close.
Yes.
By constantly advising them and admonishing them, right? Mm-hmm. And they tend to kind of like have their freedom a lot more than maybe other places, right? So I thank Allah Azza wa Jalla for that.
Alhamdulillah.
You know?
So ideological basis, you started this tour in the United States. I know before you did one in the UK. What was your inspiration? Like, what got you moving? Like, yo, like, I have to do this.
Okay, I think there's a number of factors, right? Like, I've now been back in the UK for a couple of months.
Now.
For the first time in, like, 6 years.
Yeah.
I've been receiving emails from universities. I think the tour that you're referring to is the university tour, right? Where I went past 27... secular universities, even though the feminists and the homosexuals tried to get some of my programs shut down. So I just want to thank all those brothers who really stood firm
now
and made these programs happen, because a lot of khair came out of it. It really, really did, right? One of the things that really pushed me to do this is that it may well be my one and only opportunity where I can visit the universities.
Okay.
Right? Because all these years I've been abroad. Normally the ISOCs, you guys call it MSA, they have programs in around maybe what, September, October, November, and then they have another set of events maybe in February and March. And and I would normally be abroad in this period, studying in Medina, right? So because I got accepted to my master's in Jamiat al-Imam Riyadh, it's like I might not have this opportunity again, so I might as well exhaust my resources and my time to benefit the people and to really get to them.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, the universities, right? A lot of them, they've never studied Islam. And there's many of them that haven't studied Islam, right? If you want to be able to get to a people, the university is really definitely a place for it.
That's where people are thinking.
That's where they shape their minds and their thoughts and their ideologies, right? That's why a lot of, subhanAllah, filth and evil.
By the way, before you carry on, for those who don't know, ISOCs are the similar form of MSAs in the UK. Okay, I think, I don't know if it's just restricted there, but that's what they call MSAs.
Islamic Society.
Okay.
We don't want them to think it's socks made by Apple.
Go ahead.
So this is where one shapes his mindset.
Yeah.
Right? So I know they have a lot of doubts as well. Some of these isms are rampant. It's a breeding ground for kufr, shirk, fahisha, all the different isms. Right, and you got the Rainbow team that's extremely active over there, right?
Yeah.
So if I can get a message to them, hoping maybe I can shape their minds in that one lecture, then be it. Because my objective is to get them to take their religion a lot more seriously and to start seeking beneficial knowledge.
Yes.
Many people think that you only seek knowledge if you're trying to become the next mufti or the next judge or the next khatib. No, Habibi, we can't navigate around the doubts, fitnatu shubuhat and fitnatu shahwat, except by way of knowledge.
Yeah.
Right? You can't expect to walk into university, right, not equipped with the tools to repel all of these doubts and then come out thinking perfectly Islamic, right? Like I said, there's an ideological attack.
Absolutely.
Normative Islam is under threat in these settings especially.
Yeah.
You're always being intellectually challenged, right? So it's very, very important that one is seeking knowledge actively, even while at university, doing a little bit every day. You're spending so much time learning about Pythagoras' theorem, alliteration, condensation, evaporation. You've memorized the periodic table, right?
Yeah.
C2O, H2O.
No alif ba ta.
And there's no alif ba ta. That's not, you know, it's not nice. Wallahi, even when you think about your existence in this world, why Allah founded you, right?
Mm.
We're there to learn about His religion so that it can better our ibadah, so that we can then mentally function. I'll put it like this. I'll spell it out like this, to mentally function accordingly. With all the challenges of life, you need knowledge.
That's powerful.
Why do you see so many people depressed? Right? They go through some trouble and they start reverting to maybe what, alcohol, to help them deal with these underlying issues that they have, thinking that, okay, the alcohol or the drugs or the music is going to get me through it. I always say they drink to forget, we do dhikr to remember, right?
SubhanAllah.
Knowing how to deal with our problems.
Mm.
I always say to brothers, if I didn't take away from the 10 years that I spent abroad, other than this one point, which is how to deal with our problems, and that would have been enough. And it boils down to beneficial knowledge.
Yes.
Right? That's basically the core solution in a lot of that which we face.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yes. Faridatun ala kulli muslimin. This is, there's a type of knowledge you have to learn as a Muslim. And that's your basic deen. You need to know how to pray. You need to know proper aqidah. You need to know tazkiyah. You need to know who Allah is. You need to know who the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is. These are things that you have to know. This is not optional. If you want to be a Muslim, you have to know these things, right? And the, when you do learn it, it will empower you. And we always say this, that's a true empowerment. Because then you don't have to rely on your mom and dad and if the information is correct or not, and you're not sure. And now you're gambling your akhirah based off of, I don't know. You know what this person knows.
Doing a trial and error.
Ah, you know, and so that's not something we want to do. So, you know, we spoke about the people a lot, but like we mentioned, the du'at need to be addressed here as well. You know, Minnesota has a great hub for students of knowledge that go and they traverse back and forth from the Mamlaka, they traverse from Egypt, all these places, and so we need to also address them. What would you say in terms of encouragement, you know, for them as well to kind of step up and do the job?
One statement of Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullahi alayhi, which really, really inspired me when I first started speaking about these isms and also the whole LGBTQ stuff, right? And I always try to keep it before my eyes, right? So when he said, لا تستصعب مخالفة الناس والتحيز إلى الله ورسوله.
سبحان الله.
ولو كنت وحدك, right? Do not see it as a burden, siding with Allah Azza wa Jalla, as Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, right? Even if it means that you're going to end up opposing the people, And that is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you. Even if you're by yourself, he says, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَكَ. And that is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be by your side. He'll be there supporting and aiding you. Right? It really, really wasn't easy. I think it was like a whole year we were trying to figure out how much can we actually say to enlighten the Muslims with regards to the LGBTQ community. And I just want to make something very clear, just in case somebody wants to misconstrue what I'm saying. I'm not saying we have to incite violence or harassment towards any minority group or anyone, in fact. We're just here to quote. I don't have my own views and opinions. I just quote, you know?
Yeah.
I just convey.
Yeah.
Right? Just to make that clear. You guys have Fox News here, right? That cuts things out and spreads it. And
what's your similitude of Fox News? What do you guys have?
We have the Daily Mail. Channel 4, we call them.
Channel 4.
One of the worst news tabloids out there.
SubhanAllah.
Right.
Give you guys a hard time, huh?
Well, you know, the reason they got, not so long ago, they got sued for a lot of money. So we kind of like use that just in case a reporter tries to message us. Gotta be careful. What the Muslims got out of you, you know?
We're getting money.
Mellor Roden brothers.
Yeah, I mean,
They ended up clearing everybody's name. They actually fought back.
SubhanAllah.
And made sure that their names were cleared.
Yeah.
And even recently, some sister tried to come after me, right?
Yeah.
And I just sent her all of this. I was, look, we'll take the same route, you know? you want to take us on, you know, bring it on, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So alhamdulillah, we have things in place just in case they try to take things out of context.
MashaAllah.
So anyways, the point of the matter is I'm not here to incite violence towards anyone. I'm just stating facts, right? This really, really helped me. You know, consulting people for a whole year, we're speaking to solicitors, how we can word things and so on and so forth, right? And even we put this disclaimer at the beginning of our videos.
Okay.
Right? And alhamdulillah, not a single video of mine has been taken down.
Okay, not yet.
Right? And I've spoken about all this stuff. Because I don't incite violence anyway, I'm just there stating facts. And this statement as well, wallahi, I remember the first khutbah that I gave in a masjid at West London, where I delivered this khutbah. I remember, wallahi, the brother was actually terrified of me speaking about this topic. Yeah.
Wow.
And then I sometimes listen to his voice note before and after. It actually just cracks me up, you know. And he's a lovely brother. But of course, there's an idara. There's an administration that you have to deal with. And sometimes, out of fear and concern, they may request certain things not to be spoken about. And just that's everywhere. That's everywhere. SubhanAllah, you know, the reaction was really positive. I remember my brother came up to me and he said to me, may Allah protect you from what is about to happen, you know?
SubhanAllah.
I was like, SubhanAllah, you know, the video went out and it went absolutely viral.
SubhanAllah.
It was a khutbah. And I mentioned a statement right at the beginning. لَا تَسْتَصْعِبْ مُخَالَفَةَ النَّاسِ وَتَحَيُّزِ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. And I sometimes think to myself, like, I was able to go to a couple of countries and no trouble came out of it. Of course, I came to America, I had that trouble there. But even then, it was against all odds. Right? It was against all odds.
Yeah.
Alhamdulillah, when I got the visa, nobody was expecting it. No, but everyone was saying, nah, you, out of all people, you're going to get it, no chance. Everybody wrote me off, but one thing we have is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? And he says, be and it becomes. Right? So I just want to advise the brothers, right, to just do the right thing.
Steadfast.
There's a way around it. We're just going to be smart.
Yeah.
And not to shy away from speaking the truth. Otherwise, the truth is going to die. You know, Ibn al-Qayyim has a very powerful statement where he said, إِذَا ضَعُفَتُ السُنَّةُ قَوِيتَ الْبِدْعَةِ. Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayhi says, وَكُلَّمَا ضَعُفَ مَنْ يَقُومُ بِنُورِ النُّبُوَةِ فَشَتْ فِيهِمُ الْفُجُورُ وَمَا إِلَى ذَلِكَ وَالْفَسَادُ وَالْبِدَعُ وَالْإِلْحَادُ and things like that. If those who call to the truth, and they enlighten the people with the prophetic way of doing things, right? Become less and less, you will see the opposite taking a stronghold.
SubhanAllah.
Right? You will see that becoming extremely widespread. Wickedness, fujur, right? Innovations, apostasies, right? A misconstrued understanding of the religion.
Yeah.
Right? Yesterday I was telling the sisters, we have feminism that took over the world, right?
Yeah.
In many different places. And then now you have a new knee-jerk reaction of that with the Red Pill movement. And both of them, they are not in line with Islamic values and guidelines. And I made it very, very clear that the reason why we have, well, one of the reasons as to why a sister may turn towards feminism is simply because she's come across men, right, who may use Islam to justify some of their un-Islamic actions and behavior.
No.
And Islam is free from that. Just because you've seen that, that doesn't mean you need to move away from Islam towards these ideologies, right? And again, it goes back to knowledge. If you had the knowledge with regards to what is right and what is wrong, you pull him up, akhi. You know, your husband can't be treating me like that.
Right, right.
That's not Islamic. Does that make sense? And I could see, and that really affected him. Gotta be honest here, right? So they're turning to this simply because the haqq is not there.
Yes.
Enough people need to be there,
yes,
talking about the status of woman in Islam,
mm-hmm,
her rights, her Islamic rights. And this is clear as daylight in the Quran and Sunnah.
No.
Even the scholars, they say, توضيح الواضحات من المشكلات. Making something that is already clear, or should I say, let me rephrase that, explaining something that is crystal clear is actually problematic, because you're going to struggle. If I say to you now, is the sun out? Or is there daylight? And yeah, can you explain to me that there's daylight? Like, how are you going to explain that to me?
Yeah.
Huh? It's clear as daylight. Or if the moon is out, oh, can you tell me, is the moon out or not? Things like that. So it's very clear in our religion. And it shocks me that it actually requires elaboration. Brothers, you know, do something about it by, you know, calling to that which is correct. Even look at the LGBTQ movement. Mm. I've been saying this everywhere I go.
They're strong.
Akhi, they're strong, even though they're a raindrop in an ocean compared to everyone else.
Yeah.
They're a minority within a minority.
That's true. And everyone's afraid of them.
Exactly. Why? Why though? And that is because they are, the members of this LGBTQ movement, they're actively involved.
They're da'wah. Some of them are willing to die for it.
Exactly. And you see these images, akhi, of men, akhi, wearing whatever, right?
Yeah.
Women clothing and, you know, being, you know, akhi, like dogs, akhi, they're being held. These are pictures, I'm just quoting, by the way, right? Akhi, they're proud, right? They're unapologetic of what they stand for. They're propagating that. But we Muslims are not necessarily doing the exact same thing, right? Jamming tactics and fear-mongering methods have been used to shut us down. When in reality, you guys have the First Amendment.
That's true.
Freedom of speech, akhi.
That's true.
Well, I can't tell my son now what Al-Islam is. You don't have to say, I believe this. Akhi, Al-Islam says this. Allah Azza wa Jalla said this in the Quran. These are our values and our morals.
Yeah.
Let's stick by them. If you don't, they're going to go to these schools who are ready to indoctrinate them, right? Confuse them, and they come home questioning which pronoun should I use next. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Allah, you know, it's nas'al Allah al-afiyah. We're already having this issue. Mm-hmm. At least you know it. And I think that's one of the big issues, is that the brothers, we're not doing our job. We're not doing our job, you know, and it's out of intimidation. We're intimidated by them, and that has to do with the lack of faith as well.
Yeah,
you know, once you're intimidated by the people of, you know, the kuffar and ahl al-batil, this is a lack of faith. And so what we need to do is, we're going to talk about this as well, all the way down, because there's an internal aspect of Islam that we leave off. And memorizing mutun, which is great. We almost got, again, like low-key, some people were thinking in our last podcast that we were against people memorizing the Quran. So we're not against people memorizing the Quran, but we have
the debunking right here, yes, huh? If you believe that, huh?
because the issue with Minnesota is we put an emphasis on memorizing the Quran, nothing else.
And
so
problem.
The person
that's
memorizing the Quran, he's an atheist. Memorize the Quran, he's a drug dealer. Memorize the Quran, look at the way he talks and walks, and he wants to behave like the kuffar. So obviously that's an internal aspect missing, and we're going to talk about that inshallah.
Before we move on to anything else, I just want to point out something that Umar al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he mentioned in the Hudaybiyah treaty, right?
Yes.
He came out and he said to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَلَسْنَا عَلَى الْحَقِّ وَهُمْ عَلَى الْبَاطِلِ.
Allahu Akbar.
Aren't we upon the truth and they are upon falsehood? وَقَتْلَانَا فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَقَتْلَانَا فِي النَّارِ. And those who died amongst us, they're in the Jannah, and their ones are in the hellfire. Right? He said this twice. Firstly to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And his response was, وَلَنْ يُضَيِّعَنِي اللَّهِ. Allah is not going to forsake me.
Allah.
And then he came out to Abu Bakr because he was angry. Right? فَأَعْرَضَ مُتَغَيَّضًا. Right? He went away, you know, filled with anger and عيل, you know, as they say in Somali. Right? And then subhanAllah, he said the same thing to Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. أَلَسْنَا عَلَى الْحَقِّ وَهُمْ عَلَى الْبَاطِلِ. Are we upon the truth and they are upon falsehood? Right? And then he said, Allah Azza wa Jalla is not going to forsake the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? Brothers, are we not upon the truth?
Wallahi, we have the
haqq. Aren't they upon the batil? Why? Are we scared of propagating the truth? Allah's name is Al-Haqq, right? And just to point out as well, Allah will raise you for speaking the truth. Ibn al-Qayyim would say, "Al-rif'atu la takunu bi mujarrad al-'ilm bal bi ittiba' al-haqq wal 'amali bihi." Rif'a, Allah is not going to raise your status for just having knowledge, but rather by following the truth, right, and acting upon it, doing that which is right, brothers and sisters, right?
So knowing is not enough.
Yeah, it's not enough. And of course, we've got to be wise. We have to choose the right time and whatever, right? But sometimes what happens is this card is used to just remain silent and not say anything up until you see the batil, akhi, the falsehood, taking a stronghold right before your eyes, and shaitan still whisper, akhi, don't say anything, you're going to get cancelled. Akhi, what, at the expense of the haqq now deteriorating?
SubhanAllah.
People losing their religion and their faith.
Isn't that exactly
what's happened in America? Due to some of the positions that we've taken.
Yeah.
Up to the point now, wallahi, I was told, SubhanAllah, when I was in the UK, Americans would tell me this. You'd walk through a university campus and you'll struggle to find a hijabi that doesn't have the LGBTQ badge on her chest. SubhanAllah, today a sister emailed me. She goes, I've heard you say this so many times and I just wanted you to know, like, we in Minnesota, we're not like that. Look at us, we came out to attend your program, right? In numbers, akhi, they filled out the masjid. It's close to 1,000 plus after when we kicked the brothers out.
Yes.
They were like, akhi, we're not like that. And that makes me so happy, right? Sisters in Minnesota, they have a bright future. Bidnillahi ta'ala, right? Just learn about the rights of women. We don't need this feminist, liberalist stuff, right? Even Simone de Beauvoir, who is a founding mother of feminism, she's contradicting herself. And Allah told us this. وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِي اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. Anything that comes from other than Allah, you're going to find into contradictions. And I mentioned this in my lectures, and I'm going to keep mentioning it, bidnillahi ta'ala, the contradictions within these ideologies, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala.
No, jazakallahu khairan, ya Allah. Man, we could keep going. Idris.
Sorry, guys, I'm just.
No, this is good. No,
I think the eel inside of me after what happened yesterday.
We need it. And so, one of the things, too, is that we have the numbers, we have the resources. What we're missing is like basic akhlaq and organization.
Yes.
This is our issue. Yesterday was a big showcase of that. Yeah. May Allah forgive us.
Yeah. We're all going to make mistakes. We're going to learn from it. And today, is going to be a success.
Inshallah. But what we'll say is also, and I want to highlight this, that we do have sisters here that do hold it down.
Right? And they held it down yesterday.
They held it down, alhamdulillah. Yeah. And so we ask Allah to preserve and protect our sisters, mothers, aunts, and daughters all over the world. Right, we want Allah to accept from us and to bless us and to forgive all of us. And Idris, you've been in the da'wah for a minute. What do you think is one of the big issues for buckling down and speaking the truth?
Wallahi, there's a lot of worldly affairs ties to the da'wah.
Yeah.
Talk
about it.
If somebody wants to start doing da'wah, I think one of the first things they do, and this, I don't know if this is the UK as well, but in America especially, they start an organization. And when you start an organization, it's your target now. It's easier to make you a target. It's easier to get you canceled. And so we see that a lot. Like, business and da'wah are tied here in the West a lot. Yesterday, the brother, nobody was charged. Free of charge. And everybody came.
Think about that.
In the West, you'd be getting charged $50.
SubhanAllah.
So if you're charging people $50, You're going to watch what you say. You know, your money is tied to the da'wah and so on and so forth. So I think that's one of the problems, one of the biggest problems we face. Also, this idea of wisdom is something else that we suffer in the U.S. Every da'i is always talking about, you gotta
hikmah.
When in reality, sometimes you need to tell people the blatant truth.
That's it.
Naam.
And people have appreciated that.
Yeah.
Honestly, I asked the sisters yesterday, do you want me to go around the bush? Or shall I just be upfront with you guys? And you can see they really appreciated it.
Yeah. Because
you can hear like, yes, you know, from the whole crowd, subhanAllah.
They don't hear that a lot. They don't hear that. All the speakers they listen to is the opposite. They, you know, they beat around the bush. They kind of want them to stay in the same place, almost.
It's like stagnation. That's what they promote.
Nah.
You know? We don't want you to grow.
People have become tired of that.
We're tired. It's like, alhamdulillah. Yeah. Like, more people are like, you know what? Because it's like, once you start to taste, you know, the deen and like, it's the true iman, you're like, yeah, whatever I was on before, alhamdulillah. Hadana lihada. Right? So this is a ni'mah too that we have this. And we should always be grateful that we have this, you know, basira. You know, if you have it, if you are grateful, Allah will increase you in it. And if you're not grateful for it.
And that's the difference between a lot of du'at and a lot of teachers. A lot of the youth today, they go for these motivational talks.
Yes.
They come back when their iman is low for another motivational talk. Now imagine people who charge money for that.
Yeah.
Like it's almost like a crack epidemic now. You're gonna come back to me when your iman is low. I'm gonna charge you $50. I'm gonna give you another hit. I'm gonna give you another hit. Nah, you're gonna come back again.
It's really what it is.
Where as a teacher, he teaches you.
Yes.
How to lift yourself and uplift yourself.
How to take care of yourself.
Nah. So we have a lot of people who are on that way rather than actually teaching in Minnesota especially, you know, and that has a lot to do with the timing of a lot of things. I think everybody thinks that people are just lazy. No, the timing. A lot of the tulab were studying the past 10 years.
Yeah.
Right? Man. And they're just coming back. So there's a disconnect in our community between the elders and the youth. So there's a lot that goes on that people don't actually pay attention to. Somebody in the UK might not know all of the context, and so it's easy for them to just say America's finished or there's a lot of
Laysa al-khabaru kal-ma'ayn, as the Prophet said,
right.
Hearing something is not like seeing it.
You gotta hear for the right people sometimes. The people that are on the ground. That's why we're asking you about UK, because we're not in the scene. And so alhamdulillah, thank you for the clarification and the insight.
So you mentioned something about the Quran,
yes. The memorization.
Yeah.
The hifth of the Quran.
Yeah.
Which is virtuous. Is meritorious. Mm. No one disputes that.
Ashak. And we encourage that.
Yes, we always encourage it. However, when that's the only thing that's our focus and we're not teaching the deen and there's no fahm, there's no fiqh, right? Yufaqihu fi deen. If Allah wants good for you, He gives you understanding of this religion, right? I know a lot of people who memorize Quran and they don't know the fiqh of wudu, the salah, they have never studied this. And so for them, you can see easily there's a big gap in their castle to where shaitan can penetrate.
Definitely.
You see? So the people of the Quran before used to know the deen. Mm-hmm. And they used to practice the deen. Yeah. And they used to implement it. But now we have people who know the Quran, but they don't know the deen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a musibah. Sahih. Right? And so this is from the angle we're coming at. We love our, you know, Ahmed Burhan and them, shout out to them. I know he's in Medina right now.
Yeah.
Barakallah fihim.
I love his recitation, by the way.
Yes, it's you he's can't about 50 take it away.
Man.
Sheikh
Abdul Nasir is all I
Abdul Nasir. No, we have to give you know? A proper, you know, he doesn't get a lot of recognition.
Sheikh Abdul Nasir?
Wallahi, he doesn't. He doesn't get a lot of recognition.
Guys, should I tell you something that really touched me?
Yeah.
Really, really touched me. I said it yesterday at our private sitting in the evening after that craziness. At least that brought some khair out of the night, you know? I was watching the Quran competition that you guys recently had.
Yes.
I think it's a national, or is it international?
Which one?
The U.S.
The one that...
is it Tibia?
Sheikh Bashir, Abdullah Bashir won.
That's the Kuwait, isn't it?
No, the U.S. one, the one that they did in the U.S.
Was it Tibia?
No, there was one in Minnesota. There was one in Minnesota.
The U.S. one. Shatibi.
Is that the one
he
won?
I think it's America, I think.
I just sometimes, you know, like to put these things on and listen to different recitations. I love the melody that the Minnesotans have.
Alhamdulillah.
Like Ahmed Burhan sounds similar to his little sister. Seen that little clip going around. Sheikh Abdul Nasir. And then the rest of the brothers, they've got like a very similar melody, which I personally fell in love with. So I was listening to the competition. Sheikh Hassan Saleh, I'm a big, big fan of Sheikh Hassan Saleh, said something right at the end
in the dawn
that made me stop whatever I was doing and I just put it on replay, you know, more than once. He said, everyone that participated in this Quran competition were either the direct students of Sheikh Waleed or the students of those that Sheikh Waleed taught.
Subhanallah.
Right? And this man has knowledge.
Allahu
right? I heard he came and nobody knew who he was. He started teaching. And not just Quran and Qira'at, but he was teaching Islamic knowledge. The Qira'at I heard was just maybe like a side thing.
Yes.
That he was teaching. May Allah Azza wa Jalla preserve him.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't met him yet. We're going to be meeting him today. And I just want to, honestly.
Yeah, he has established the Islamic University.
And subhanAllah, look what Allah Azza wa Jalla does with a person of knowledge. He uplifts a whole state.
Nah.
Right? A whole state. Because I heard Minnesota was just a place of snow, yani. And they paid the Somalis to move here, right? That's what I heard.
I think the first one was paid well. Everyone else after that, if you weren't from his tribe.
And actually, look what happened, subhanAllah. Look what happened. When we think Minnesota, one of the first things that comes to mind is Quran. Right? But You know, I always look at the issue of Qira'at, you know, from two angles. You got right wing and left wing. You got people who have to finish the Quran, they jump straight into Qira'at, memorizing Shatibi, Shatibiyya.
Yeah.
And akhi, Sihar gives you akhana imgrana, yani. He doesn't know how to wash his backside, doesn't know how to make wudu, doesn't know how to do basic stuff. Habibi akhi, good, you memorize the Quran, now learn Islamic sciences that are very, very important. And I'm not saying we shouldn't learn the Qira'at. Then you got those, and I was recently hearing this, right? Looking for every way to scrutinize a particular organization. He started speaking negatively about Qira'at, and he used the statement of Ibn al-Jawzi rahmatullahi alayhi, where he was talking about Qira'at shadha. Someone now moving into that and preoccupying himself when there's that which is more muhim. So belittling the concept of going through Qira'at is another extreme.
That's extreme.
Right? It's important. There's ahkam, you know, in there. But I think we need to be balanced in this. Look at it, you know, like that. And one more thing I think is important. So maybe the way around this is to give a lot of concern to tafsir as well. Recently, Allah, a very famous brother who came to one of the classes of that I did in New York, very big following. He said the following, and I'm hoping maybe this can inspire you guys, right? It was very touching to hear, because I told him to go buy Tafsir Ibn Kathir.
Okay.
Like, I don't like English books. I don't like English books. But that tafsir, honestly, the way it's been written,
yes,
I love it so much, man. Ibn Kathir is an abridged version of tafsir that's been translated into English, just to maybe read it, while at the same time you see guidance from a student of knowledge and a sheikh, right? Look what he said, right? This is after I told him to go and buy it. He had already had it in his house, but he didn't realize. He goes, Subhanallah, Habibi, Allah inspired my heart last night. I started from volume 1 and wallahi, I've learned so much about Surah Fatiha already. Like, the value has shot up even more, alhamdulillah. Inshallah, my intention is to learn more and read more every night. I'll shoot over questions for sure. Jazakallah khair for being available to help. And he asked, how did Ohio go? Right? So he was touched by just reading Surah Fatiha. It's the sweetest, maybe $200 that you're going to spend. Go buy that Tafsir Ibn Kathir. Real, real nice. You'll find it in probably just about every masjid, they have it. But it's there, like, as if it's there for show, you know? People don't touch it.
Investment in your deen is much more than the dunya, because you're investing in your akhirah. So people sometimes, they think about the $200 and they're like, ah, that's too much. But they'll buy Yeezys.
Balenciaga?
I don't know. But that sounds like lunch. Yeah. It sounds like a Lunchable.
Doesn't matter, I mean, they got recently cancelled, right?
They recently cancelled. So, alhamdulillah. The next question I want to ask you about is hijrah. People, you know, after all the issues we spoke about, Minnesota, shout out, the USA, people are like, you know, I want to leave this place. I want to go where Abu Taymiyyah is. I want to go where Ustad Abdulrahman Hassan is. I want to be where the Ikhwa are. I heard Birmingham was the place to go. I'm going to make hijrah. What would you say about that? Somebody leaving, you know, first off to Muslim countries.
Yeah.
And then what would you say about places like certain pockets of the UK?
I think when speaking about this issue, we have to be sensible, right? Like, I personally don't want to bring up my daughters. Alhamdulillah, Allah bless me with two beautiful daughters. I don't want to be bringing them up here in this kind of environment. While at the same time, akhi, I need to be sensible. I need to be smart.
Realistic.
And realistic as well, and how I go about dealing with the situation, right? Because the world is not how it used to be before. Even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? When he went to migrate to Al-Madina, he did his due diligence, right? Did his research. He went to find out, is it okay for us to actually move there?
Yeah.
Right? He did that. So it's important that, you know, we don't just khalas leave. I know there's the aspect of tawakkul, which is very, very important.
Yes.
And I always go on about the importance of a tawakkul. However, there are asbab as well that you need to take. Right? It's not just as simple as packing your bags and going to the Khalij. Right? Akhi, brothers have told me, my own cousin who lives in Qatar recently told me that this brother, subhanAllah, got into an accident.
Yes.
Just a little bit, you know, touched. And then he started raising his voice at the sister. She kept quiet. She took his number plate and the guy just got shipped out. He didn't realize that she was actually a princess. Qatar.
Whoa. Oh, man.
Huh? They took him to the police station. Nothing. No kalam. You're gone.
Imagine that, Denise. Princess is deporting you.
She didn't even say something. I actually called her brother, who works for the police.
He gets his license.
Okay, they sent him out real quick, you know. So we have to kind of, like, you know, it's not as straightforward as it was maybe back in the day.
Complex.
Because you want to say hijrah. Okay, hijrah means that you're going to now move from the lands of the kuffar to the lands of the Muslims with the intention of not coming back. And if you do come back, you can only stay for 3 days as a hakam.
SubhanAllah.
How is it even a hijrah when they're giving you an iqama residency that's only for a set period of time? Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's not
hijrah. People have this, I call it the Jeddah dream, right? You want to move to Jeddah? We all do. But it's not that simple, right? I tell my family just all of that. Yeah, she's got the Jeddah dream. I call it the Jeddah dream that she has. We're trying. Okay, we're going to try and sort it out. But we have to be sensible. We have to be realistic, right? Last thing that I want now, I get moved out or something happens and you're back to square one in the same country. Rather, you might think about establishing things. Even recently, this brother who was on this hype, he moved to Dubai and then he was telling me, Akhi, I put my tawakkul, I did all this and I'm this and everything's going great. Akhi, in a couple of months, he had to leave. Right? And please, I don't want anyone to walk away with saying that I'm against hijrah. We all agree that it's mustahab.
Yes.
It's highly recommended. I personally want to do it. But when it comes to saying that it's wajib, Akhi, this requires a body of scholars to come together and speak about the dynamics that we're facing.
Yeah.
Right? Someone actually pulled me up and said, Akhi, ittakhillah. You're telling people don't do it. No, I didn't say that. I'm for it. I want to do it as well. That's why I'm moving my family out, inshallah ta'ala, when I start my master's. I hope I get a long time there. And it can be in that environment. Right? And of course, things may get hard, but we're going to put our tawakkul in Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allah makes things easy. Right? So that's the situation. Right, saying it's wajib was something that was recently put out. Right, it was a big thing, and then because that has implications. That means, akhi, a lot of people are sinning. You're speaking to what 4.1 million Muslims in the UK that they must leave. And of course, I don't know. I know somebody who says that doesn't actually mean every individual, but akhi, it's not that straightforward.
Yes,
it really, really isn't. And in Europe, how many are there? There's like 25.4 million Muslims, I believe.
Yeah.
Right, you need to take all these people, like, take them somewhere. Right, there has to be practical solutions. So in the meantime, akhi, we have to kind of like find a way to weather the storm. If that makes sense.
I like that.
Yeah.
Weather the storm. The next, issue I want to discuss with you about is, wallahi, we have a lot of things that are happening, and like I want to come back to that internal factor, right? Diseases in the of the heart are easy to attain when you live in the West, right? The West being Europe, America, Australia, all these places.
When women are sexualized and objectified.
So when you see all of these so freely and easily accessible on the web, at the gas pump, sometimes even in the bathrooms, you guys don't call it bathrooms, it's toilet, right?
Yeah, we say bathrooms.
You say bathrooms?
Yeah. Right, huh? Where do you think we live, man?
Okay. How about pants? You guys don't say
no,
pants.
No, we say trousers. Yeah, that's okay. It. The way you guys say is real corny, akhi, because we we call pants, akhi, what you wear inside.
Underwear, right?
Yeah, underwear, yeah.
I remember a brother told
One
me
One time
that.
Somebody said, take off your pants. I was like, what? What's the guy trying to say? That means trousers, you know?
SubhanAllah.
Pants, you know?
Yes. Okay. This when the two worlds collide, this is very Allahu Akbar. So, the tazkiyah. You know, when you have all access to all these ills and the diseases, it's very easy to attain. And if you don't know how to deal with that, your heart will be sealed. Khatam Allah ala qulubihim wa ala sam'ihim wa ala basarihim ghishawa. You know, so these are things that can happen to you, and it's step by step. So. What would you say about talk to us about what tazkiyah is and the importance of it, especially living in the lands of the non-Muslims?
Yeah. There's so many statements, subhanAllah, right? Like Ibn Taymiyyah,
explain tazkiyah, what is that?
So tazkiyah, the way they translate it into English is purification of the heart, right? We are in need of tasfiyah and also tarbiyah, right? Purification and also cultivation. Right, so every single individual is in need of purifying his heart, not just on a weekly basis or on a monthly basis, but I'm talking about on a day-to-day basis, especially living in the West. We were told that whenever you carry out a sin, a black dot is placed on your heart, right? And the way to remove that black dot is what? Istighfar. Who used to constantly seek forgiveness all the time? It's none other than Messenger Allah alayhi wasallam. He didn't have any past sins or any previous or any future sins, right? Even then, 70 times in a sitting, 100 times in a sitting. Us being in this sexualized society where women are objectified, they're used as marketing tools now to grab your attention, right? Are we not in need of constantly seeking forgiveness from Allah Azza wa Jalla without a shadow of a doubt, right? And even this knowledge that we speak about, we can't function without knowledge, right? We have all these doubts and temptations, and the only way around is beneficial knowledge. Allah. That's not going to enter into your heart unless you have a pure heart.
That's true.
Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayhi, he says, what does he say? Na'am. إِذَا كَانَ الْقَلْبُ رَقِيقًا لَيِّنًا كَانَ قَبُولُهُ لِلْعِلْمِ سَهْلًا يَسِيرًا وَرَسَخَ الْعِلْمُ فِيهِ وَثَبَتْ. Right? Because if your heart is soft and tender, your ilm will find its way easy into that kind of heart. You will see it what? Settling inside of this heart and, you know, really taking hold of it. Right? وَثَبَتْ. And then he says, وَإِذَا كَانَ الْقَلْبُ قَاسِيًا غَلِيظًا كَانَ قَبُولُهُ لِلْعِلْمِ صَعْبًا عَسِيرًا. If your heart is hard and rigid, you'll find its way very, very difficult entering into that, right? So that heart needs to be really, really soft. This is why, even you can find on my YouTube channel, I went through 10 ways to soften up the heart. And something that Ibn Rajab mentioned, subhanAllah, is really, really powerful, where he says, where he talks about how the majority of what the companions and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do wasn't at tatawwu', like doing supererogatory, voluntary acts. It wasn't that. Right, but rather it was like rectification of the heart and so on and so forth. And he says that this is actually afdal than doing a lot of righteous deeds, if that makes sense. Right, so to really go out their way, and even if you're talib ilm, like me, I'm somebody who really loves usul fiqh, like I love it, usul fiqh, because usul fiqh protects the sharia. Usul nusus min al lusus, as Ghudayan rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned, it's like the gates that protect the nusus, the text, right, from the lusus, from the thieves. Right, figuratively speaking. So I really love it, I spend a lot, but sometimes I feel like my heart gets a little bit. So I need that Tazkiyah book right next to me, you know.
Yes.
Ibn al-Jawzi rahmatullahi alayhi says, رَأَيْتُ الْإِشْتِغَالِ بِالْفِقْهِ وَالسَّمَاءِ لَا يَكَادِ يَكْفِي. He says, like busying yourself with fiqh and just listening to hadith is just not enough to rectify your heart.
Right?
إِلَّا يُمْزَجَ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الرَّقَائِقِ وَالنَّظَرِ إِلَى سِيَرِ السَّلِفِ الصَّالِحِينَ. It has to be mixed with raqa'iq, heart softness, and also looking into the lives of the people of the past. Right? So there has to be a fair share of tazkiyah. Sometimes you've got brothers, some brothers actually started referring to them as the mutunists. Right?
Mutunists.
Fortunately, because we have this new wave of brothers who want to completely take out of the equation giving lectures, right? And they started referring to it as chaotic da'wah. Honestly, it was absolutely ridiculous.
Is this in the UK?
Yeah. They're just a minority of people. When they themselves, it's ajib, right? Like I told you guys before, I go around delivering these lectures, highlighting to them why they need to seek knowledge. It has to be done through lectures.
Yeah.
Majority of the people, number one, they're not ideological, and secondly, they don't even know they have to seek knowledge. That's majority true. Are not That's students
true.
Of knowledge.
That's true.
And the way you get to them is through these lectures.
Especially the sisters,
yeah.
Because already they don't go to Jumu'ah, most of them.
Hadahua.
And so they may never get a reminder. And the only reminder they get is dunya in the schools. They just chase after it. Sometimes their parents are like, hey, we need you to be that doctor, okay?
Yeah. That's it.
And so that's all she gets. And then what I've noticed is that when nurses and those sort of people, they get in contact with us du'at, they're like, hey, can you teach me aqidah? I just realized I don't know my aqidah. Mm. And she graduated from medical school.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
Yeah. Imagine
you know what I'm saying?
Imagine that.
So,
but they'll come to the lectures. When there's a lesson, they don't know that's not for me because I've taken a different career path. They look at seeking knowledge as like a different career. Yeah, Jama'ah, it's not.
Mistake.
As you mentioned earlier, the hadith, right? It's faridatun ala kulli Muslim. It's an obligation upon every single Muslim.
Yeah.
Even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he would give reminders every Thursday. Reminders he gave. And the khutbah, that's not a matan. Right? There's different ways of delivering a message to someone.
Yeah.
The end goal, na'am, is to connect the people to studying Islam a lot more beneficial, a lot more systematically, right? And even if you just went through the Quran, you don't. Yani, that was the manhaj of the Prophet. He would teach the people the Quran, and the early generations, they would teach the people the Quran, and that's how they would derive the different sciences from, right? So it should not be belittled that somebody is giving a lecture. I've gone around, visit different communities. I see the impact, right? Well, I'm gonna read something out. It's a private message, but hopefully you won't have an issue with it.
Naam.
Brother messaged me this today, right? Yeah. Brother messaged me this today. He said, and I don't know who he is. I really don't know who he is. He just sent it to me on Twitter. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. I apologize for what happened in Minneapolis.
Mm.
By the way, I've received like
a lot of apologies.
Maybe somewhat close to 100 apologies from brothers and sisters. Saying, Akhi, I, on behalf of Minnesota.
This is the sincerity, you know.
That shows, Akhi, they're still good in the Ummah, you know, in Minneapolis.
Some decency, yeah.
A lot of decency, Akhi. I have been listening to your videos for about 5 years. When I heard you were coming, I was happy to benefit again from you. I'm not currently in Minneapolis. I'll be back in the morning. For whatever it is worth, I memorized the Quran with your motivation.
Allah.
And I learned Arabic with your motivation.
Allah.
And I memorized hadith and poems that I wouldn't have if I hadn't started with memorizing the Quran. It was difficult to me in the beginning, and when I saw your videos, that it was for you. When I saw your videos, that it was for you as well.
Yeah.
It helped me push forward. Mm-hmm. A lot of them, I'm telling you, Akhi, they were from lectures.
And that's
you know, someone recently said that when he listens to so and so speaker, yani he feels motivated to practice. But when he listens to my videos, he feels motivated to go and seek knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what I'm trying to do. Right? We're trying to get people to start taking knowledge a lot more seriously.
Yeah.
So some of these brothers who are being referred to as Mutunis, they started taking shots at somebody who goes through Surah Yusuf, for example. Yaqi, wala ajib. Wala ajib. One brother, subhanAllah, when I was on my way to Manchester, Masjid Furqan, he sent me a whole text message refuting the masjid and telling me that the lecture that I'm delivering about the deception of Iblis is not something I should speak about.
Mm.
And he's talking about the masjid, they don't have any concern to seek knowledge, and you need to speak about. Well, I said to myself, Akhi, this guy, I don't think he's read Tilbis Iblis.
Where are these? Where do they live?
They live in the UK. Like, it was ajib because one of the first statements that I was going to mention from Tilbis Iblis is when he said, فَإِنَّ أَوَّلَ تَلْبِيسُ إِبْلِيسَ عَلَى النَّاسِ صَدُّهُمْ عَلَى الْعِلْمِ. The first deception of Iblis is to block the people away from knowledge.
Ironic.
Right? لِأَنَّ الْعِلْمَ نُورِ, he says, because ilm is a light. فَإِذَا أَطْفَأَ مَصَابِيحَهُمْ خَبَّطَهُمْ فِي الظِّلَامِ كَيْفَ شَاءَ. If he manages to extinguish the light, right, he will see, he will, you know, trip them up in the darkness, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, first and foremost, I don't even believe what he's saying about the masjid. Secondly, have you read Tilbis Iblis? We're trying to tell the people, we're trying to encourage you not to start seeking knowledge.
Very beneficial book. Very beneficial. To right? Go over it over and over again.
Akhi, it's an amazing book. Like, I'm thinking, subhanAllah, right? You know, are we reading the same book? Are you even reading? Right? So that was very, very shocking to see, honestly. So, lectures of I looked at the UK Dawah scene, and I realized there's a lot of Muslims.
Yes,
I identified that.
Yes.
Secondly, a lot of them are not seeking knowledge; they're far away from the religion. Right? We have to also identify the strengths that we have. If we're able to pack out a masjid or a university hall and motivate the people to start taking this journey, then ishal mushkila. But then they'll say to you, "Akhi, it's not about numbers. Just teach Rasul al-Thalatha, teach Kitab al-Tawheed," which I do. I've actually taught Kitab al-Tawheed 7 times in the last 2.5 years.
SubhanAllah.
And I'm on the 8th time now.
Allah.
I teach in a knowledge college. We go through books, you know, in a systematic way. Recently, a brother, may Allah Azza wa Jal bless him, right? He sent me, subhanAllah, you know, his name is, I might get offended now if I don't say his name, right? Anyways, this brother, this student of mine.
Shout out to that brother, whoever he is. If we don't know you, the angels know you, inshallah.
His name is Hamza Arafa, right?
Mm.
He sent me 100 pages worth of notes.
SubhanAllah.
100 pages worth of notes can be turned into a book, akhi, right? And they were lessons from our Kashf al-Shubuhat, this is second year. The conditions of takfir and its preventatives, the dangers of it. Nawaqil al-Islam, we went through it in detail. 12 mainstream doubts of grave worshipping, and I went through Usul al-Sitta.
Yes.
100 pages of notes that he sent.
Yes.
This is what we go through. We go through Bulugh al-Maram, Mandumat Abi Ishaq al-Biri. We go through it in a systematic way, right? But that's not for everyone. You need to, there's a gap there. Get this guy now. Okay, why do I need to seek knowledge?
This is the point here.
Yeah.
Is that you have to deliver the deen to the way that people understand it. You cannot just say, you know, everyone come and listen to you know, Usul al-Thalatha, and you have to sit down and you need to cross your legs and have your pencil and paper. People don't have discipline. They don't have that, right? And so there's something that you do for Tulab, people that are at the eight, at the level. And then there's some people that you, they need to come through the front door.
You need to just get them through the
That's
door.
That's it.
Who did we have yesterday? Wallahi, we had sisters who don't even wear hijab.
Yeah.
But they wore hijab for the first time.
Allahu Akbar.
Right? They wore hijab for the first time. They just bringing them into the masjid. Akhi, billah alayk, wouldn't you go to the streets and start paying people? Mm-hmm. Please come into the masjid.
If I had the money.
If I had the money, we would do it. We'd definitely do it. So that there has to be that, you know, initiative. And now they're coming to the masjid. Why shouldn't he give them a lecture? I remember the brother was like to me, subhanAllah, one guy said to me, Akhi, you shouldn't look at numbers. Even if five people come and attend the class, these are the five people that are going to save the next generation. Akhi, if I'm doing that on a bigger scale, what's the problem?
Mm.
100 people are going to come. Maybe, Akhi, 20 people are going to start seeking knowledge.
Yeah.
Right?
Also, it's interesting because a lot of people who give a lot of advice and you should do that, don't do nothing. Mm. That's the terrible part. It makes sense if it's another da'i that's Allah telling you, Akhi. But it's always that guy that's
the
in
critics,
his gram-
yeah. They'll do anything.
It's always the critics in his grandma's basement, you know, just always typing. That's the guy that's going to tell you you shouldn't talk to these kind of people. He has no influence over anybody, and he's telling you how to, you know, go about dealing with thousands of people. So
there has to be a collective effort. Yani all sectors need to be covered.
Yeah.
Teaching, lecturing, khatib. You know, you gotta be the all-round heart softness. Very important. Very. We all need it.
Yeah, well, I would need it.
The mashayikh themselves need it. The ulama need it.
Yeah, that's factual.
Remember what Ibn al-Jawzi mentioned? Passed me in 597, right? Yeah, 597. He's saying this, fiqh and hadith is not enough. Right? And eventually these brothers are gonna start giving lectures. Huh? You know, you'll see it. Even now, I recently saw a thing where. Anyways, yeah.
Well, inshallah. So,
I have one question.
Yes.
For the Ustad.
Yeah.
Who are, from the non-Muslims, who are some people that Muslims look up to? Who are the idols in the UK? Non-Muslims.
You guys look up to LeBron James, huh?
No, here we have.
And even there's this rapper that everyone started tagging me on. Yeah. I think his name is Drew something.
Oh.
Diri, or what is his name?
Well, I have one.
Not Drake. Drake, there's another one.
No, there's another. He's talking about Chicago.
Chi-Town,
Chi-Raq,
Dirk,
that's the one.
Lil Durk.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Here, last time I was up to date, everybody was looking up to 6'5". No, 6'9". The guy with the rainbow hair and the rainbow teeth, right?
It changes every month. Every month is a new guy. But in the UK, though, who do the youth have kind of?
I know. No, it's football players. Footballers.
Nah, so you see kind of the difference. Like in America, they have the girls have. They're affected by Beyonce and Cardi B, right?
You guys seen that message about Beyonce, that tweet that's going around?
Yeah, I saw it.
I thought she was expired by now.
No.
She's still around.
But the kids in the UK are affected by football players, which is, I think, it's an easier...
Sorry, okay, soccer players.
Soccer players.
Gotta be specific.
Soccer players.
You guys call it soccer?
Soccer.
No,
I don't know any celebrity women from the UK. Right, there's no Beyonce in UK.
No, we don't have these girls like running around.
So it's much easier to kind of.
SubhanAllah, you know that's a great point. I thank
Allah for the UK, man.
Nah, so you guys are
much
blessed
more in the UK,
than,
brothers.
Allah make du'a for you. May
Allah make America.
I mean,
you know, better than the UK. We still have our challenges.
Yeah,
we have our issues. But alhamdulillah, you know,
this place is a different beast.
That's true. And so this companionship now is important. Suhba, with the people that are around you, your sahib, right? The Prophet ﷺ says, "La tu sahib illa mu'minan." Do not befriend and companion with anyone except a believer. So talk to us about that and the influence of friends, because we talked about the external factors. Now there may be a guy there. You could easily say "Udhu billahi min shaitan rajim," but the shayateen from the ints, those guys, those ones are tricky.
Without a shadow of a doubt, like we've been hearing this for years. Our parents have brought us up. You know, make sure you have good friends. Make sure you do this. Make sure you do that. Like you mentioned, you know, a sahibu sahib, it drags you towards the direction. That صاحب الله مؤمن رجل على دين خليله هذا حديث إنما مثل الجليس الصالح the perfume seller and the blacksmith we've all heard about, right? Of course, this is one of those things that really, really strips you of your Islamic identity. You are on the same madhab, or on the same way as your five closest friends. And these five closest friends are those that are going to pray your janazah. Some of them don't even know how to make wudu, right? Yeah. You gotta see that. They're going to be in your
circle,
in the front line of your janazah.
Gotcha.
Right? Your five closest friends. And that shows a lot about you, you know? And it's not just friends that we physically engage with today. We got social media, that's why it's called Facebook friends, right? You walk outside, how many people can you engage with? 20, 30 people on a day-to-day basis? But you're online, at home, in between those four walls. One's becoming corrupted by what he just constantly looks at. And this is a new pandemic and the new problem that we have today. Once upon a time, a parent would say, Alhamdulillah, you know, my daughter and my son, they're at home, they're not engaging with any bad people. Akhi, now they're in between the four walls, akhi, and they're accessing all types of filth and all types of evil. And they're becoming affected by it. Even Raghib al-Asfahani said, لَيْسَ يَعْدَاءُ الْجَلِيسِ لِجَلِيسِ بِمَقَاتِ وَفَعَلَةٍ فَبَلْ مِنْ نَظَرِ أَيْضًا. You don't just get influenced by the people who hang around with you, but even by looking at things. Some of the scholars of the past, they would say, right, don't even look at someone who's lazy. And let me ask you, is it haram to look at someone lazy?
No.
You're going to get a sin for it?
Mm-mm.
Somebody who's a bum and just sitting around? No. But it affects you, you know, subconsciously it creeps in. Affects the way you think and so on and so forth, right? Imagine they would say, don't look at that. I had an auntie that called me. She was like, "Oh, my daughter. She wants to start wearing a miniskirt. Because no, a miniskirt is right. You guys have another name for it.
Miniskirt is probably right.
Just we have.
You guys got another word. You guys call it pants.
Are you talking about like the skirts?
Miniskirts, yeah, and the short skirts.
Wow, I didn't think I'd explain this. I'm trying not to.
It's like really, really. I mean, miniskirts.
Yeah, I'm talking
bad.
About what these girls who go to the club wear.
Oh, yeah, brother.
I was going to say imagine it, but I'll tell you don't.
Don't imagine.
Yeah?
We don't.
Imagine, like my daughter wants to wear it.
SubhanAllah.
How did this come about? Mm. She goes, I don't wear it. Her sister's never wore it. But she's asking now
not
for this miniskirt.
You said your niece, right?
No. Mother's telling us.
The mother's saying this.
No, because you said my daughter, and now I want people.
That's what the mother is saying.
The mother is saying my daughter is asking me to, right, wear this. She wants me to buy it for her, and then when I tell her no, she goes, "What's the problem?"
Okay.
No one else does in her family. Why? Why is this happening? Because she's constantly looking at these fasiqat, fajirat, who have absolutely hijacked her minds. She's just constantly looking at it, and she began to become desensitized to it. She's normalized it now. This is how women dress, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's a really interesting point you made though about the Salaf would go look at somebody's face to get like an iman boost. Just looking at somebody's face.
Yeah, subhanAllah.
And then the opposite is also true. If you think about it, you could look at somebody's face who's a pawn, batil, and who's a sinner and a fasiq, and your iman would drop. But we don't even think about that. We see these people every single day.
That's looking, right? Imagine befriending with this
person. SubhanAllah.
I wouldn't be reminded of Allah as well as, you know?
Just by looking at them.
You mentioned.
You know, the next thing to talk about now, and what a great intro to the influence of social media. The Muslims now have access to everything at their fingertips. You don't need to go into somebody's house. Before, if you wanted to sin, you had to go find people, find a location, meet up, you know. And then the only people at that location, they would be the only people that would be exposed to your sinning.
Yeah.
Yeah, they would know. But today you can do it and broadcast it. Shirk, kufr, ma'asiyah has become digital. It can spread like wildfire to the entire world. Millions of people can see it. Now those millions of people become against you on the Day of Judgment or for you. They're witnesses to that crime you committed. Nas'al Allah al-afiyah. So now let's talk about the dangers of social media, clout chasing, with deen, misinformation. There's people who put up fake ahadith, tabarruj, the youthism, you know. So let's talk about that. And then also, should we leave social media or have a collective da'wah approach and utilize it to our benefit?
Very good question, right? I think the hadith that comes to mind is when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talked about al-kadhba allati tablugh al-afaq. When one leaves his house, he spreads a lie that reaches the other side of the world. Right? Put yourself in the shoes of the companions, right? What were they thinking when the Messenger told them this, right? They would spread a lie and reach the other side of the world when they lived in the Arabian desert. Now with the era of social media and the emergence of all of these different social media apps, you send out one message, it reaches the other side of the world within the space of a couple of moments. You can even start a war on social media, just ask Donald Trump. And that North Korean, whatever, right?
That's true, yeah.
You can start a war on it. SubhanAllah, the Messenger of Allah told us that it was, he saw someone being punished, and they put a, what do you call it again?
The hawk.
The hawk, right? They put it inside of his...
The hook,
that's the one.
Yeah.
I think the tiredness is getting to us, it's early morning. They put it, what is it called?
Hook.
They put a hook inside of his mouth, right? And it would be torn all the way to the back, another in his nose, and the third in his eye socket, and his face would be ripped like that. Right? And that's because he would spread a light that reaches the other side of the world. Not checking the information. Everyone just wants to speak for the sake of speaking. Just look what's happening on Twitter now, right?
Yeah.
You type in Abu Taymiyyah, actually every minute, like we've even tried, we started refreshing. Literally every time you refresh, something's coming up. And many of them speaking garbage, right? They're spreading lies. You don't have the full picture of what actually happened, and you're just speaking for the sake of it. Yesterday we saw a chat that was open on Twitter. What do you call it? The space.
Twitter space.
Actually, at 1 a.m. in the morning, while we were driving, there was 1,300 plus
on there.
I'm thinking, akhi, that kalma sahdan.
SubhanAllah.
They don't sleep. Right, shakhlan. They're in this group, and they just everyone is just giving their 2 cents on the whole issue.
A lot of people from different parts of the country, different parts of the world.
Yeah.
You know? Right? Like, what is going on? Like, you know, do you see my point?
Yeah.
You don't just have to speak for the sake of speaking, akhi.
That's true. You waste a lot speaking, and you don't need to speak. You do a lot more harm to yourself.
That's the sign of a fool. He says something because he feels like he has to say something.
Yeah.
And so before, a fool, back in the days, they would talk, no one would care. Today, a fool is a role model, right? Rajulun tafi.
Yeah, it reminds me of something that Mike Tyson mentioned, right? Mike Tyson, what did he say? He said, here is.
He doesn't say much.
He said, social media made you all way too comfortable disrespecting people and not getting punched in the face for it, right? Not that I'm trying to endorse this in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
Of course, violence is against the religion. Punching somebody's face. If you fight, then stay away from the face. Actually, back in the day, right?
Consequences.
Yeah, there'll be consequences. Akhi, we'll tell that brother, akhi, yeah, you just said that about him, go say it to his face, right? But now, just need a keyboard.
That's it.
A warrior. Right? Keyboard warrior.
This guy, Thaddeus.
That's it. He just writes, nobody knows who he is. Even before I came to the US, right? Well, after I landed and the thing went out, akhi, just random people started speaking. They're trying to get my think that I got likened to so many different people, but I'm on steroids apparently compared to them. They said, oh, how did American government let him in? He should be sent back. Akhi, say that to the guy's face, akhi.
Yeah, and to be honest, those people need to get sent back. We know who they are. Yeah, you're probably not here legally. The papers are running out. And so I think it's a good point to mention is that there are enemies of the da'wah everywhere.
Yeah.
Internal as well as external, but the internal bit here is the one we have a trouble with in the America. You guys have a good job of calling people out. Hey, you munafik, bruv! And you call it, right? And you call it out, kafir, you is in it. Like, whoa, dude, what's
going on? In it, yeah.
Right? I know the different dialects.
Trying to impersonate me, yeah?
Maybe I am.
The brothers have been speaking a lot about the Scousers. Somali is sounding like Scousers. Huh?
I met the first person who had like a UK accent. It's when I moved here. I'm from San Diego, which you're going to be going to soon, inshallah.
Yeah.
What is the thing they always do with the bottle of water? But the people that are against the da'wah, it's funny because these are people who, some of the people we know from Minnesota got an education, whatever kind of education he got, but they went to college and they, instead of being open-minded people coming and actually coming with evidence, they spew a lot of nonsense.
Yes.
Right?
And so
a lot of labeling. That's all they do here. They don't have any.
And I think they sabotage every khair. Like they want to go and attack everything.
That's what they refer to them in Arabic.
And these are the same people that actually had a problem with Remember when we were trying to stop people from going to the concert? The
concert. They had
they
a
were
problem.
Telling us people, right? Let people go to the concert. They said, and they're trying to stop people from going to the lectures.
They said these are the people we're dealing with. They said that we're causing more fitna by being out there, and that's against
the. And today they're trying to stop people from going to the lectures. So those are the type of people we have.
Wow.
Alhamdulillah, they fail, akhi.
Yes.
You know, it's very different what's happening on the ground compared to what some of these, what do they call them, akhi? They've got one of the mashayikh referred to them as something. Huh? I must read this out. Yeah, referred to them as the Twitter thugs, Instagram idiots, and the TikTok tigers.
SubhanAllah.
Will always have something to say about the people who do the work. Just do the work. They will have their reckoning on a difficult day.
SubhanAllah.
Right? At the end of the day, you have to do what you believe is pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. And so do the people that are hosting you. Right? Twitter thugs, Instagram idiots, and TikTok tigers.
It's definitely befitting.
And also, just to touch upon the importance of knowledge that you were talking about, that's why knowledge is very important. Because not everybody can sit at the table of knowledge. If we're talking knowledge, not everybody could be at the table.
That's factual.
A lot of people would have to shut up.
That's true.
But we deal with a lot of emotions and feelings. Everybody has feelings and everybody has emotions. That's the problem. That's a lot of these people have no knowledge. If you ask them, what's the pillars of Islam and Iman? Nothing. And they're trying to talk to you about fiqh issues. You know, the.
I think what we should do is, you know, what you should do is sit down. All right. And no, it's honestly, that's an issue here. Is we don't respect authority in terms of the deen here.
Yeah, that's the problem.
In the United States. Right. And so now this, we have, it's a norm that you have, like, medical doctors are given khutbah. Like, we call medical doctors with degrees to give khutbah here. You see? And then the, subhanAllah, the identity of the Muslim is important from our Muslim cultures. And because what it does is it's a constant reminder too. And for us brothers, sometimes we can get away. Sisters can't. They have to, like, you know, they're forced to be in these hijab and niqab and all those things. So we ask Allah to make it easy for us. So just finishing up here, let's conclude. What would you give in, like, last reminders? A beneficial last thing to say to our Minnesotan brothers and sisters out here.
Well, I would say there's a lot of khair in the Minnesotans. Honestly, there is. The fact that you guys came out in so many numbers, honestly, it really shows that there's a lot of good in your hearts. You could have been doing all sorts of things, right? On a night like that, you could have been up to a lot of crazy things. Today, youngsters are just sitting at home on TikTok. But you chose to put your phones down and you came in order to be enlightened about conservative Islam, right? And wallahi, it really, really pleased me that you guys have a lot of khair. You know, don't refer to these liberals or these feminists.
Yeah.
Right? Remember, guys, politics is a filthy game. Right? We don't need these kind of people to enlighten us about Islam. We have Islam in a balanced way. We really, really do. Right? Yesterday, I know a lot of them were shocked when I went through some of the stats that I found on the Daily Mail about what many British women want in a relationship.
Non-Muslim, too.
Non-Muslim, right? You heard it, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it was shocking.
Yeah.
And even when I went through some of the rights that women are entitled to,
yeah,
right? Don't let oppressive Muslim men who might use the Islam as a way to justify their un-Islamic actions be the reason why you end up going left. No. Right? We have Islam. It's going to deal with all of our problems. And it's pretty clear. Right? That's the message that I have for everybody. Right? No offense to anybody. But we have our role models.
Allah.
People that we turn to. People are asking me everywhere I go, oh, should we take knowledge from Andrew Tate, right? Recently in New Jersey, they asked us. Even one brother was like, I used to watch Andrew Tate, but the algorithm took me to you. I told him, I'm the real AT, man. Ala kulli hal. I said, of course, akhi, we make dua for him that Allah Azza wa Jalla frees him from his distress. You know, he's being oppressed, right? For them to try and accuse him of something that is not backed up by any evidence or proof, it's something that is really sad to see. And this happens to anybody with influence. And then I gave the example of Loon. You guys know Loon, right?
Yeah.
That's the example that came to mind after he asked this question. It was all unplanned and unintentional to even speak about this stuff. Anyone who gets influenced, they're going to try and come after him. And that's very well known, right? And without a shadow of a doubt, he has inspired a lot of men to be more masculine, right? However, he's a revert. We're not going to be taking knowledge from someone who just
he's not a role model,
you know. May Allah bless him, honestly. Like, I make dua that Allah Azza wa Jal
makes him a da'i, you know, and
grants him beneficial knowledge. Like, imagine somebody like that who now takes that journey and seeks knowledge and the kind of impact that he could have. And they're trying to shut him down because they know he has that kind of potential.
Amazing.
However, we say when we're balanced, right? And there are people that you go back to for beneficial knowledge. Just like you would go back to the most qualified doctor when you have a medical related issue.
That's factual.
Right? Does that make sense? And this is why I've been telling university students, just because you don't have the answers, that doesn't mean there aren't any answers. Does that make sense? If you're a medical student, right, and you go back to Somalia and they start asking you questions about which medicine should I take, you're going to say, "Akhi, I'm not ready. I'm not qualified," right?
Yeah.
No one in their right mind would leave that profession. Akhi, the same thing with Islam, right? You don't have the answers. Akhi, go to somebody who's qualified. Right? Go to somebody who has studied. Right? And there are people like that.
No.
Yeah? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best.
Barakallahu fikum. Benefit from the people of knowledge.
And can I just say,
yeah,
I just want to give a shout out to Shaykha Aisha Wazwaz. You guys have her in the Twin Cities, right?
Na'am.
Wallahi, honestly, sisters, she's very knowledgeable, right? And do benefit from her.
Definitely.
Honestly, do benefit from her. She has some very good works, honestly. I really like the podcast that you guys did with her. I think she was pretty balanced. Some sisters may look at this as extreme, as maybe a personality that's out of touch with reality.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess she was just upfront with you guys, telling you guys what's in the Quran and the Sunnah of the Messenger wasallam, with regards to the very good questions that you guys asked. I personally enjoyed, you know, listening to that, and I just want to thank her for it. I know her husband is, is a writer, I think. Shit. He is. I don't know much about him. But may Allah Azza wa Jalla bless that family.
Ameen.
Right, and I was told also that she sent quite a few people to come and attend the program.
Yes.
Right? May Allah reward her for that.
Ameen.
Yeah. But it was very disappointing for what happened. Hopefully today, bi'idhnillah ta'ala.
So inshallah ta'ala. You know, and we want to plug everybody in. We have people of knowledge here. Before you guys start talking about Medina, Egypt, all that, take benefit where you can. Wherever you are, learn here. Yeah, don't say there's a lot of people.
Sheikh Abdullah Bihi, right? You guys got Sheikh Abdullah Bihi coming back to you guys. You know,
Do classes for us. Yeah. All right, you're gonna do some kutub. Yes, so we're ready, inshallah. But we need to benefit from the people here. We can't just sit here and say I'm gonna wait till that application gets accepted, because Allah may not will that for you.
And show Allah that you're deserving to go to Medina.
Absolutely, yeah.
By taking the steps here, showing that you are sadiq, that you're truthful about. One thing to study. And I've seen many people like that. They would spend their money. They would have tireless nights, you know, moving from East London to West London. Sometimes it takes 2 hours. 2 hours, Habibi. One time I had a class in West London. I just finished the Dora. We finished teaching Arba'in Nawiya. And we had our final class in Fiqh on the other side, East London. Wallahi, it took us 1 hour and 55 minutes. And I had the brothers who were attending, both in the car as well. Brothers like Jabir, you know, may Allah bless him, 6'5". Got another brother called, his name is actually, they call him 6'5". Yunus. And some of the other East London brothers. And they traveled me all the way there. We had the class. Still remember that day. Allah. As a determination. And some of these brothers got accepted.
That's what it is.
Allah, you know? Even there's another brother called Abu Zaid. Recently got accepted.
Mashallah.
He thinks, I don't know that he got accepted, but he's just, I heard he's waiting for the time to actually meet me, so he can tell me in person. You know, it's out of respect, I think it is. Allah. You know? As someone who attended the classes, he would spend his money, he would go from one place to another. That's now he got accepted. Yeah. That's a sign of sidq. And now Allah Azza wa Jalla granted him that, you know?
Ameen. May Allah grant us all that.
Ameen. Ameen.
Brother Idris, what would be your last remarks that you would give, especially, you know, the situations we spoke about, maybe about yesterday? Give us some last reminders, inshallah.
Wallahi, Nothing much. All I would say is, inshallah, hopefully we can connect with the brothers in the du'at in the UK. I think there definitely needs to be a connection made.
Yes.
There's another group that we all know who has that well connection between the US and the UK.
Yeah.
But we also need
who?
To...
Who?
the brothers who... The well-connected brothers. The brother, you and all the other du'at, Ustaz Yahya and all those other great brothers, inshallah, they gotta be well connected with the US as well. So that way it becomes easier for them to come. I think the first time is always the hardest.
Yeah.
And it just gets easier from then, inshallah. And the first
time. We weathered the storm, eh? That 9 hours was worth it, man. Seeing all these brothers and sisters attending in.
We love you.
In waves. Wallahi, man. It's real nice. Wallahi.
Inshallah, let's make a connection between the UK and the US so that way we can learn and benefit from you guys, and you guys can learn and benefit from us, and so on and so forth, and create a stronger bond, inshallah, between the ummah.
Barakallahu feek. Jazakumullah khair for having us.
Khair and everyone. It's a pleasure. Our Deen Love viewers, we hope you enjoyed that. And then, you know, we're, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless our guest, Ustad Abu Taymiyyah, make his travel easy, and make dua for us. You're the traveler. You know, we need your dua, inshallah. Minnesota, you know, you showed out. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to rectify our affairs and our shortcomings.
Also, yeah. Shout out to
ask Allah to deliberalize.
I mean.
Shout out to STMN, YBA,
yes. Starting together,
Brother Luqman Zakaria, the two Zakarias.
Young brothers.
Big shout out to Abdul Malik and
Abdul Malik Zakaria,
Luqman.
MashaAllah.
The brothers who are heavily involved in setting it up.
MashaAllah.
Today we're going to be in the light.
And also Abu Bakr.
With a nice.
Measure Abu Bakr.
Yeah, Mr. Abubakar, hey, man. Apologies,
you know,
guys.
Apologies, and may Allah forgive all of us, and you know, bless them.
Phase 4 coming, inshallah.
Until next time, wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum.